That song puts us in a mind to get our toes stepped on, right? No, no, no.
Hey, I'm glad to see you today. Thank you very much for being here. It is great, 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 great to be able to be together, to worship, whether we are here in this room or whether we are here virtually as well. I do want to say that there are exciting things going on. We have folks that have been visiting with us. We have folks that keep tuning into us, and man, there are just a lot of great things happening, and I appreciate it. We're going to end this year, despite how bad 2020 has been, we're going to end it strong, right? We're going to end it for Jesus Christ, and so I'm so thankful we have this opportunity. I did just learn, after Justin had made announcements, that our brother Conrad apparently had to go to the ER with some chest pains. I messaged his Lee, but I didn't hear back just to see how things are, but remember, Brother Conrad, remember all those who aren't able to be here, specifically those who are having health issues, but there are a lot of folks that want to be here that their health just will not allow them, or the conditions that their health is in will not allow them to be here, and man, I feel bad for those folks. Now, you know, hey, are there some that aren't here that, you know, we certainly want to reach out to? Absolutely. We want to reach out to all of them. But let's encourage as many as we can and continue to pray for them as well. You know, I just do not like conflict. I do not like conflict at all. In fact, I was telling in class this morning, I didn't intend to say this in class or this morning, but I was talking in class this morning about when Michelle and I was reminded when we started dating. You know, I've been praying for a great Christian woman and one who could be also a great minister's wife, you know, for a long time. And God walked Michelle into my life or walked me into hers, however you want to look at it. And so we're dating and you know, I'm like, I can't mess this up, Terry. You can mess a lot of things up, but you cannot mess this up, right? And so there may have been some times that, you know, my sweet, loving, wonderful wife, at the time, girlfriend, may have done some things that got on my nerves, but I swallowed them because I didn't want to mess it up, right? And we, you know, went, because I also didn't like conflict. But along the way, she said, hey, it's not healthy, very wise, not healthy for us to not have arguments, to not, you know, have fights, if you will. Well, at that point, it was on. I mean, all that stuff that had been bottled up in me was starting to come out. And so, long and short of it, it's not an enjoyable thing to go through conflicts. It's not an enjoyable thing to be in arguments. It's not enjoyable to be at war, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your neighbors, whether it's with the country, whether it's with somebody at church, whatever it may be. In fact, I am so thankful that Jesus Christ didn't say, I came to this earth so that you will have war. That's not what he said, is it? He said, I came that you might have peace. You see, today, as we focus on the country all around us, and there's conflict after conflict after conflict going on, and I'm concerned that because of the conflicts that are going on in the country, it's hurting the church nationwide, maybe even worldwide. It's hurting it from a standpoint of people are having to be in fear, having to feel like they can't do this and they can't do that, and we can't speak out and we can't stand up, and all this conflict going on around us, that today I want to get that out and focus on peace. I want to focus on peace that Mark read to us about when Paul, from a prison cell where there was war and there was conflict, he wrote for us to be anxious for nothing. In fact, he said, let your requests be made known to God so that the, what? Peace of God will rule your hearts. Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. There's going to be war. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be struggle. But he went on to say, hey, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world because he is peace. He is the peace that passes all understanding. Today, you might have come into this room with a lot of conflict, with a lot of war, with a lot of struggle. Maybe that war, that conflict, that struggle is because of some anxieties and some fears that Paul told us not to be anxious about. Maybe, though, it's because of decisions we've made where we slipped off of life's journey, life's spiritual journey, and we slipped into a path of sin. If that be the case, then today's lesson is for you. Well, if your life is full of peace and joy and happiness, then today's lesson will also be for you because we're going to focus on how to receive peace directly from Jesus Christ. And I want to do that from the story that's found in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Turn in your Bibles, please, or your devices to Luke chapter 7, and let's read this together. It is really just a beautiful, beautiful scene in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 now, beginning in verse 36, we'll read through verse 50. Then one of the Pharisees asked him. Now this is a unique moment in the life of Jesus because the Pharisees were always trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to get Jesus. They were trying to hurt Jesus and trying to disprove who he was. But this Pharisee, Simon, we will learn in a moment, he asked Jesus to come to his house. Listen to this. He asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Isn't it amazing that Jesus was accused of going to sinners' houses and eat? Like Matthew was a tax collector, like Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was accused of going and eating with those sinners, but here's the holy of holies, if you will, right? The religious of the religious. And he's going even to the Pharisee's house to eat. He didn't disrespect anyone, right? He was no respecter of persons. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. What a beautiful scene. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Like he wasn't, right? And Jesus answered, and then, oh man, you want to talk about mic drop moments? You can imagine Simon over there thinking, well, can you believe this? He's in my house, this old nasty woman's over here, blah, 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 blah. And he's thinking all that, and Jesus says, "Hey, Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." What does Simon think he's going to say? "I'm so thankful to be in your home. I'm so thankful for this wonderful meal. You are one of the holiest people I've ever met in my life." If that's what he thought, he's about to be in for a rude awakening. He said, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, as was the custom to wash the feet of your guests. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, which was the custom to greet one another with a holy kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in." You did not anoint my head with oil. Another ritual they would do would sprinkle their head with oil as they would walk in. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil or perfume that was very costly. We'll talk more about that. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. What a scene. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Thus he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, here it is. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What a story. One that I really have read many times. Don't know that I've ever preached a whole sermon on it. Probably referenced it before. But as I was rereading through the Scriptures, and I came to this in Luke, I thought to myself, what an appropriate time to be able to share this story. Because here we are, in a world full of conflict, in a world full of arrogant judgers, in a world full of people that want to condemn us, that want to belittle us, that want to try to keep us, as Satan is the prince of it, to stop worshiping, to feel sorry for ourselves, to not feel good enough, and live in a world of war. But we are before the one today who wants us to go in peace. He wants us to leave our sins at literally His feet and walk out of here today with no baggage, with no war, with only peace. Today I want to ask you, do you have that peace? Do you have that peace that only comes from Jesus Christ? That peace that passes all understanding? Or do you have conflict? Well, in order to better understand this, I think we need to observe some situations in this story. We need to observe some people. We need to observe some attitudes. We need to focus on some things inside this story. The first I want to focus on is the Pharisee. Simon's mind. I'd love to sit here and tell you I've never had thoughts like Simon. But you see, I try to be a transparent preacher. I try to be someone that what you see is what you get. And I'm going to confess to you, there's probably been times in my life that I've kind of looked down my nose at people. That I've kind of thought, how dare them? Or, you know, why bother me? Just being honest, right? Maybe we all can relate to that. So I'd love to sit here and just beat Simon up. I'd love to sit here and just say what an awful human he is. And chances are his attitude is awful, right? But if I'm honest with myself, I've probably been in his shoes before. Simon's mind. What was it doing? It was wandering. It was wandering as he observed this scene of what he thought was a troublemaker. He thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of awful human being is doing this to him right now. How could this man, who claims to be holy, allow this sinner to touch him, to be around him, to be in his presence? Folks, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. But Simon's mindset, his attitude is, how dare this woman and how dare this man? It's really sad that the sinfulness of the Pharisee, it was at the forefront of his heart. You see, he couldn't see past the woman. He couldn't see what she was doing. He couldn't see her penitence. He couldn't see her love, her compassion, her begging for peace. All he could see was her sin. All he could see was how awful she was. He was focused on the sins of the woman, and he was so focused on the sins of the woman, he forgot to be the house guest he was supposed to be. Old Simon, Pharisee of Pharisees maybe, right? Here he has Jesus Christ, the Messiah, but he believes to be a prophet, whatever he believes him to be. Okay, he has the Messiah in his home, and he never washed his feet. He never greeted him with a kiss. He never anointed him with any kind of oil. All he could do was focus on the woman so much that he dropped the ball himself. A Pharisee mentality. And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we've probably all sometime before had a Pharisee mentality where we look down our noses at someone else. A Pharisee mentality will always point other sins out way before they'll point out their own. You see, today that doesn't bring peace. That brings division. If I were to have a conversation with someone who wasn't washed in the blood of Jesus like I am, and the first thing I did to them was point out how awful of a person they were, what did I do? Did I build a bridge or did I build a wall? Folks, I'm going to confess to you today that that's building a wall. We've got to get out of the wall building business and get into the bridge building business. Simon, the Pharisee, he had the mentality of this awful sinner when he should have been pointing that finger at himself. Our focus cannot be on the sins of others. It must be on our own spiritual walk. If I want to have peace today, I got to quit looking down my nose at others and I got to start looking in the mirror at me. What do we have today? Is it conflict or is it peace? Maybe it's not another person's problem. Maybe it's just my problem. Secondly, though, in this story, that's exactly what I want to look at. It's the word problems. In order to better understand this point, you've really got to do what I like to do, and that's picture the scene. I hope that you can see the scene in your head. But in order to understand the problems that are in this story, the baggage in this story, the conflict in this story, the forgiveness that needs to happen in this story, you've got to see this scene or we will miss some excellent points that Luke, very detailed, the physician, right, gives us. You've got to see how Jesus is sitting and understand the custom at the table. They wouldn't be at a table and just sit down like we would sit down at a table. There would be a bench there and it would be low to the ground and they would recline and their feet would be out facing one way. And that's kind of how it would be. The reason you wash feet is because when you're kind of reclined at the table, the other person's stinky feet are right there in your grill. Okay? And so that's why it was a custom to wash the feet. And so, again, Jesus didn't have his feet washed. He wasn't greeted with a kiss. He wasn't anointed with oil. But here, you got to see the scene. Jesus is now reclined at the table, getting ready for this meal. And what happens? This well-known, right? This well-known. What is she well-known for? Sin. This well-known sinner in the community, she's got that reputation. Oh yeah, old so-and-so over there, you know what she does. You know who she's been with. You know what she... I mean, it's just gossip, gossip, gossip. She's got this reputation. What does she do? She walks in. And folks, I'm telling you, she's bringing a lot of baggage. She's bringing a lot of problems. And so, with all of this, you can't miss this point. If you go back to Luke chapter 7, and you look at verse 37, "Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at His feet," where? "Behind Him." She's brought so many problems. She's brought so much baggage that she can't even face Jesus Christ. She walks up behind Him. She didn't ask permission. She didn't face Him face to face. She just started washing His feet with her tears and with her hair. Perhaps she is so ashamed, and perhaps she is so desperate for peace that she can't even face the Messiah. Now see the scene with me. See her behind Jesus. See her crying hysterically with tears flowing down her face. Wash His feet that has been on the dusty and dirty roads with her own hair. But then also look at the people that their eyes have focused on her. Not only does she have the problems of her own sins, but now she's got the eyes of all those staring at her. This wasn't a place she should be. Let me say it this way. This wasn't a place she was invited to. But yet somehow, she was compelled to be in this place worshiping the Messiah. She was a known sinner. It wasn't a private sin that no one knew about. What gets her to this point of brokenness? I have to completely believe that she completely believed exactly who Jesus was. She completely believed exactly what Jesus could do. In order for us to understand this brokenness, guess what? If we feel this broken today and you are here, you've got to understand completely who Jesus is and that He will do everything He says He will do. To overcome problems, to overcome this kind of brokenness, you and I have to be done with sin. I think we have to conclude from this story, this woman who is a well-known sinner is completely done with whatever sin she was struggling with. This lady knows Jesus Christ is the only one who can remove her sins. Unfortunately, many never get to Jesus' feet with this type of broken worship because they aren't done with their sin. And they aren't broken enough over it. What do we need to do today to have peace? We've got to be broken by our sin. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to understand what Jesus will do, and we've got to be done with sin and bring Jesus our problems. Thirdly, though, in this story, as we strive to go in peace, we've got to also focus on being prepared. I want to read verse 37 again. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She came prepared. She came to worship the Messiah with everything she had. As broken as she was, as many problems as she had, she came prepared. Again, she was a known sinner. She was known as unclean, yet she came prepared to bring her offering of worship. She walks up in this Pharisee's house prepared to worship Jesus Christ. She brings her oil. She brings her tears. She brings her kisses. I want to ask us today, if we do not have peace in our lives, are we prepared to worship when we tune in or we come here today? Did we prepare? Do we prepare to bring Jesus Christ an offering that is pleasing to Him? In other words, does our surrender to the peace that passes all understanding cost us anything? This lady came with an alabaster box of ointment. The box itself would have been very expensive. History tells us perhaps it would have been an ornate, hand-carved box of great value. The oil or the perfume inside the box would have been very expensive as well. But I want to suggest to you today that this gift that this lady brought to Jesus Christ cost her, or she was willing for it to cost her a lot more than that. This moment of worship cost her ridicule. Every person in the Pharisee's home knew exactly what she had been doing and who she was. As we read through this passage, you get the feeling that there were quite a lot of eyes staring at this lady. The question to us today is this: are we prepared? When we come to worship Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Spirit, do we prepare ourselves? Do we take worship that serious? Do we realize, as Jason reminded us earlier, that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith? Do we come before Him with thanksgiving, with our sacrifice, with our gift? Are we prepared? Or do we take it for granted? You see, the Pharisees took it for granted. This woman did not. If we want to truly have peace, then we must be prepared to meet and worship our Father. The fourth point I want us to see in this lesson today is this: what will we do in His presence? Today, as we come before the throne of Jesus Christ, I think we have to ask the question, something I've thought about a lot in this story recently: does our brokenness, our problems, does our preparation, does our repentance, does it change the attitude of the whole room? You ever thought about that? This lady's act of worship changed the attitude in the entire room. Her brokenness, as she wept, showed the position of her heart. Her heart was bowed before the presence of Jesus Christ. Simon, what he wanted to accomplish, I have no idea really. I will not pretend I could think like Simon thought in this story and be in his thoughts. But here's what I know. That Simon, believing Jesus Christ to be a prophet, not necessarily the Messiah, invites Jesus into his home. He fails to be the house guest he needs to be. He doesn't wash his feet. He doesn't greet him with a kiss. He doesn't anoint his head with oil. But he sits him down at his table. Perhaps he wants to show off what he has. I have no idea again. I don't want to pretend I can get into Simon's thoughts, okay? But here's what I do know. That day, as Simon and his friends prepared to feast with Jesus Christ, they did not expect this woman. Maybe they were going to get him there and ask him some hard questions. Some questions like, is it really okay to heal on the Sabbath? Some questions like, what really are the greatest commands? You know, how come you do go to wine bibbers and tax collectors' homes? How come you do these things? Maybe those were the questions they were going to ask. Maybe they had them in a captive audience and they were about to just rapid fire hard questions to disprove Jesus Christ. I have no idea. But they weren't expecting this woman. And this woman's act of humility changed the entire attitude of the room. Sometimes we may be guilty of selfishness. I believe Simon had some of that, if you're going to ask me my thoughts. Maybe our mindset is, I will not bow down to anything. Even though we know we are to bow down to Jesus Christ, sometimes we try to do it on our own. Before His presence, I've got this. I'm in control of my own life. And that's the mentality we have. Well, I want you to know something. If I have a mentality that I'm unwilling to bow down to the presence of Jesus Christ, that's going to hurt our relationships. It's going to hurt our witness to others. It's going to hurt our ability to serve. In this story, we see a woman that is so broken over her sin that she doesn't mind bowing, weeping, and serving Jesus Christ in any way possible. Did Simon pray? Sure he prayed. Did Simon attend the synagogue worship? Absolutely he did. Did Simon sing when they sang on Sunday? You better believe he would sing. Maybe one of the loudest ones. But before this, did Simon bow down at the presence of Jesus Christ? You know, the very definition of worship is to prostrate oneself before Him. It's because of this woman's bowing before Jesus, broken in His presence, that leads Jesus to tell her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So it only leaves one last point. What will we choose? I believe there are two attitudes in the story. And here they are. Will we choose pride or will we choose peace? Are we going to be Simon Are we going to be the sinner? Verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Perhaps today, if Jesus could talk to us the way He talked to Simon, He would say, "Church," or maybe just fill in your name, "Terry, fill in your name. I have something to say to you. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing for which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more?" Today, church, if you've got a debt of 50 denarii or 500, or 5,000, or 5 million, I want you to know something. That today, our sins can be forgiven. Today, our faith can make us whole. Today, we can all leave here hearing Jesus Christ say, "Go in peace." But we can't look down at those who walk forward. We can't look down at those who confess the sweetest name ever, who walk up these stairs and down into this water. We can't look down and say, "Can you believe that person? Can you believe what they've done?" You see, if that's my mentality, then I too need to walk this aisle. Today, do you have pride or do you have peace? Only you can answer that question as together we stand and sing.